worthy to be praised. I am even worthy of God. Thank you, Lord. You are wonderful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless your holy name.
On holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around.
praise God. And God bless everyone tonight. And it's good to come in the house of the Lord. It's good to have worship, isn't it? I know it's great. And I'm glad our brother worshipped. It's really great to have worship. Some nights, you know, we could have just a night of worship. Praise, couldn't we? Tanya, that's what we need, and the Lord wants that as well. Tanya, worship. I just want to talk a wee bit about prayer tonight from Luke chapter 11, verse 1, just for a text. And it won't be very long tonight. Maybe I'll just say a few things and we can have a bit more worship and prayer. And I want to talk about prayer tonight. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. It's Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Can I say it? Praise God. And you know the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive every one that is indeed indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you know, you may be seated tonight, praise God. This prayer that the Lord prayed, that the Lord taught them to pray, and I'll try not to be too loud because it's a small room, but how long did it take them to pray this prayer? Not very long. And I believe that God wants us to pray long prayers in secret and short prayers in public. And when you study the ministry of Jesus, the longest prayer I can find, he prayed 2.5 minutes in public. But I can show you where he prayed all night with his disciples. Now, we're not really saying we're in public here. Understand what I'm saying. We're not really saying this room's public. Because you could class this like Jesus and his disciples in a sense. You're with believers. But if you were out somewhere, you know, I used to see people in open airs and they'd stand and pray for a long time in open airs. What for? They should have been prayed up before they went. When I did open airs, I didn't stand in the street praying for a long time. I went on the street to preach. I was prayed before I went. And God's people need to be spending time praying in secret. And I do believe the prayer meeting is the most important meeting of any church. And it's great to come to prayer meeting. And I know the meeting, there's maybe not that many of us. But there's big churches, there's other denominations tonight with hundreds in them. And there's hardly anybody comes to prayer meetings. And there's other churches which we could say we know of, and they don't even believe in prayer meetings. And that's a tragedy. And I know of one great, denomination it is. Isn't it? And the pastor quit coming to the prayer meetings. He was so far along the road with what they thought they had, he didn't bother to come to any of the prayer meetings. He left that lesser job to Lynn Superior to himself. Well, that's a joke, because Jesus taught us to pray. Amen. Now, Lord, teach us to pray. This is what they said. Teach us to pray. Therefore, we must all agree the most important thing is praying. Everybody's not called to preach. You might never preach. Preach is a calling of God. There's a fivefold ministry. It's a calling of God. You can't just preach because you think, well, I'll preach. You can't do that. You have to be called to preach. But you're called to pray. Every single one of us is called to pray. And I was reading today on it. I read a lot of Spurgeon stuff when I can, and a lot of other stuff. Everything I get my hands on, the minute I'm reading it. And Spurgeon says, if God's house had praying down in the basement for 24 hours in shifts, praying in shifts, you would have revival. You'd have a move of God. And you know, when the Americans came over and they wanted to see Spurgeon's success, he said it was a fire below the church, and they thought he meant a fire, but it was people praying. They prayed under the church. Praying. And prayer is a secret. Great preaching's not really the secret. You could have a man come here, you could be the best preacher there ever was, but there has to be prayer. Prayer is a secret. You could have a fella maybe can't preach as well as another fella, or he's not as smart or whatever. It's nothing to do with that. A man that prays and waits in God, God will anoint that man. And when God anoints somebody, things will happen. Now, it's one thing for one man to do it, but if the whole church does it, if all of us are waiting on God and praying and prayed up, we should not come to church to get prayed up. We should be prayed up. It's the same with Sunday service. We should come in prayed up. Come in reverently and quietly, read your Bible and pray. But you see, that doesn't happen all the time, but that's the way it should happen. That's the way God wants it to happen. Many believe it tonight. Amen. But there's no substitute for prayer. Prayer is the only way for to get the power of God. Prayer is the only way for anything. Prayer. And I tell you, prayer changes things. And you say, well, I mightn't be able to pray much of a prayer. You don't need to pray much of a prayer. This prayer that Jesus taught them to pray is very simple. But it's very profound. And God wants us to pray, and whether God leads you to pray longer than the other person or shorter, that's not important. The important thing is to take part and pray. That's the important part. And when you're at home, wait upon God in prayer. Intercessory prayer. Waiting on God in prayer and really seeking the face of God. Now, preaching, you know that preaching without praying is dead. Dead without praying is dead. We know that. There's no question about that. You could have a fella that's prayed up and he could read you of a page and God could anoint it. And you could have somebody else that can talk well and they might read anything but still not anointed. People quote the letter killeth and thinking, well, if it's read, that's not necessarily true. I knew of an old preacher many years ago, and he had a pair of glasses twice as thick as these. He couldn't hardly see a thing. And he read every single note. Everything. He read a lot. He never stood with an open Bible and preached. He read like that, and his face was down in it, and he knew he was reading every single thing he read. And when that man finished reading, that was his preaching. God called him. People were waiting in the pews because God anointed it. He didn't know to do anything else. God anointed it. There's no forms. I was asking a fellow one day about a certain young man. What did he sound like preaching? And he said he's just a young Paisley. God had only one Ian Paisley. That's true. Now, I know people might say, well, you sound a bit like Paisley. Maybe the accent or that. But God had one Ian Paisley, had one William Branham, had one Smith Wigglesworth. God doesn't want any of us to be another man. He wants us to be ourselves. And William Branham talks about you can get the spirit of the pastor. Now, you don't want to get my spirit. I hope I have a good spirit, but I don't want you to get my spirit. I want you to get the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to get another man's spirit either. I want to have the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit you need, and it's the Holy Spirit that will make you like Jesus. My spirit would never make you like Jesus. Another man's spirit would never make you like Jesus. But the Holy Spirit will. And the Holy Spirit makes you holy. And the Holy Spirit will definitely help you to pray. Praise God. All can have power in prayer. You might be called to preach. You might be called to do a lot of things. But every single one of us is called to pray. And there's no substitute for praying. Praying is so important. And you know, when we're in the book of Daniel, and maybe haven't went into it enough, and we might go into it more, but Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he had an extra prayer meeting what he wanted to know, the interpretation. So when Daniel wanted to know from God, Daniel never went to nobody. He went to his friends that did pray with him. And he sought God. And if we need an answer from God, we need to get it from God. We don't want it from somebody else. I could give you my opinion on something. It might be right, it might not. It's only my opinion. But when you wait upon God, and God speaks to you, and really speaks to you, and you'll know when God speaks to you, you'll not need nobody else to tell you that was God. You'll know. And when God really speaks to you, it's settled. It's really settled. And you know it was God. Now, I know all of us are probably guilty of it. Many times we say the Lord spoke to me. Maybe it was, but you know what I'm saying. There's times in your life. I've been preaching since my early 20s. I'm 51 in a few days. So almost 30 years. Roughly say 30 years preaching. I can only tell you definitely of a few times I can count in one hand that God visited me and audibly spoke to me just a few times. It's not every week, it's not every month, it might not even be for years. But I can tell you every one of them times I know God spoke to me. And God can, now I believe the Holy Spirit can speak to us and he whispers to us and the Word of God on different things. I'm not saying God doesn't speak to us more than that. I believe he does. I believe God has spoken in our meetings many times. But I'm talking about for myself, about situations. When I was in Switzerland, Czechoslovakia, God spoke to me. God clearly spoke to me. The same presence that came in the jail came to me there, and God spoke to me. And God said to me, depart from this work till another I'll show thee. That was God. And he done it. And everything he told me has happened. Now there's other people that have said things that might have been alright, might have not been. But whatever God said, now there's been prophecies I've been given, they've happened. That's God talking as well. God can speak through his prophets, his apostles. God can do that. And I tell you, when God speaks, you'll know it. And sometimes we need God to speak to us. I don't mean a sermon preached. I mean God speaking to us. Well, you go and you seek the face of God till you hear from God. And then you say, but so that's for everybody. The night you could see it, the night I could see it, that was God speaking to us. And you know it was because it changed you. It changed you. That was God talking to you. And there's times God can talk to us, and we want God to talk to us. But there's something we have to do for God to talk to us. We cannot approach God with hobnail boots. Now the Bible talks about that, rushing in for angels' fear to tread. Isn't that the Word of God says that? I believe, even like we're singing tonight, and our brother John preached about the incense a few weeks ago. That's how, if we do that, God can talk to us. If we create an atmosphere through worship, an atmosphere when we come into the room, then the presence of God can come and God can talk to us. But we have to create that atmosphere like an aroma. And the Bible talks about a sweet smelling incense before God. And I can guarantee you, when you start praying and you say, I love you, Jesus. Many times we start praying and we're asking God for everything before we thank him for anything. But the Lord wants us to come with an attitude of worship and a thanksgiving. Lord, you saved me, you delivered me from the dunghill. Every one of us was lost only for the Lord. But the Lord in his mercy reached us. He reached down and he reached us. Thank God for tonight. I believe it's so real. Let me, in Luke chapter 18, Luke 18. Now, you know there's no restrictions placed on the art of prayer. No restrictions. You could put restrictions on preaching. You could say, well, he preached too long, preached too short. That would hardly ever be the case. But you know what I mean? You could have restrictions on preaching, but not in prayer. There should be no restrictions on prayer. Luke 18, verses 21. And we read from Luke 18, verse 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he goes into the story of the unjust judge. And we've preached from it. Jack Coe preached a great sermon on it. And he talks about the wee widow woman here through these verses. And about the unjust judge. And he wasn't going to avenge her. But she kept coming. That's the time to keep on praying. You think it's not happening? Keep praying. Don't be discouraged. This wee woman was discouraged. Let's read it. Saying there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried that night unto him, and though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth. So the Lord's taking an example from this woman and a judge, and he's typing it till the saints of God, the elect of God, come before the Father. And we continually come, day and night she cried. And if we cry unto the Lord will answer us. And if you say, Tom, I need to hear a word from God. God can give you a word. But you just need to wait in God. And when God gives you a word, if you really seek God and you want a word from God, God can give you a word and you'll know without a doubt. There's no guessing and messing about. I'm not sure if it was a word or not, but then you know it wasn't. When God speaks to you, really know it. You imagine if that road, there was traffic was going back and forth on that road tonight. You wouldn't want to cross it, that's clear. And if you don't know the will of God in a situation, do nothing. Nothing. Until you know it. Amen. It's like crossing the road. Amen. When William Branham and the men went out, and he told them, I can't remember if it was the bear or wherever they were hunting. And he told them, don't move an inch. To do anything other than what he said would be death. And he shot that animal and it fell at his, practically at his feet. It kept coming and the fellow with them was scared to death. He thought it was going to get them. And if you ever watched a film of, I saw a film of a fellow that were out shooting and he missed the lion attacking him. He missed it. He had a big gun but he missed it. He shot several times. And he missed it. And the fellas with him couldn't get up in time to shoot it. And it attacked him. And it got him. And I'm telling you, he squealed like a child. And it broke his bones in pieces in seconds. People talk about, you know, lions and all. And, you know, you see these movies and stuff. Samson was special. Yeah. Seriously. And no ordinary man could do that. Yeah, God was with that man. You could not watch that and attempt that because you'd be dead in seconds. And this fella squealed and his whole arms and everything was broke to pieces. And one fella, he shot it with a big massive fork on. He blew it away. But the time he got the gun up and shot it and it hit him. And you want to hear it hitting him. And it drove him right back and his bones were broke but just went hitting him. I tell you, you need to know God's will. And if you don't know God's will, do nothing. Until you know God's will. But if you seek God, you'll know God's will. And Jesus, they said, what must we do, Lord, that we might work the works of God? And Morris Sorella preached one of the best sermons from that text you'll ever hear. Years and years ago. I think maybe Brother John had a tape of it. Years ago. And he preached from that text. And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That's the work of God. To believe in him whom he has sent is the work of God. God wants us to believe his word. Like Amos 3:7 says, believe my prophets, so shall you prosper. That's God's word. God wants us to believe him. Now we know we're living in the last days, we know that. And I believe with all my heart that God did send a prophet at the end time to fulfill these scriptures, and I believe it. Now there's people who don't believe it, and I can't make them believe it, and I'm not going to even try and make them believe it, that's fine. But for me, I believe it. I believe it. And I believe that it's later than we think. And I was thinking, Brother Brian's Freeborn's vision of the end time, you know, he had that tremendous experience, I believe it was of God, give him that. And he said at the very end of it, when there's hardly anybody left, and he said he saw William Branham, and William Branham looked at him sternly. And he said, is this not what I said? In other words, why are you surprised hardly anybody's left? Is this not what I said? And I'm telling you, when you read the history, did you know when you go back in history here in Ireland that the popes of Rome sold Ireland to England? How many ever knew that? Well, it's in history. And you can read it. You've no idea of half of what the Roman Catholic Church has done. When you go in and read it, and all this thing that's happening today, there's something behind it. This Brexit and the whole thing. There's something behind it, and it's the Antichrist spirit. They're bringing it control, and I'm telling you it's coming. And we're at the end time. And Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming. And he wants us to be ready for the catching away. And the best way to be ready is waiting on God. Waiting upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They'll walk and not be weary, and they'll run and they'll not faint. That's waiting on God. And this is a day when people are fainting, they're dropping like flies. Christians are fainting. People's quitting, they're turning back. They don't know where to go, here, there, or yonder. And the Bible says there's a famine in the land for the hearing of the word of God. And when you listen what some people are saying, they're not bringing it outright. It's not line upon line and precept upon precept. There's some of the stuff's mixed up. Especially in the second coming. They mix up the Gentiles with the Jews. They have it mixed up. And you know many of the scriptures and revelations to Israel. Because the church is gone. Amen. Mm-hmm. And people talk about Christ coming back on the Mount of Olives. But that's with the bride. There's a period where they're gone before that. And the Mount of Olives splits. And that's where the boats come up into Jerusalem. And there's Bible for that. And I tell you, that's all ahead of us. A lot of this is the Jews. And the plagues and the vials and all them things. But for us, we're the Gentiles. And the Jews were blinded so that we could come in. But God's almost finished with the Gentiles because he has to go back to Israel. Because he said he's married, like the, you know, he can't forget them or he'll forget his own hand. And our time's almost up. And we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We need to be men and women of prayer that know how to pray. And Jesus taught us how to pray. Look at chapter 21 and verse 36 in Luke as well. Chapter 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. There is an escape. God is going to take us. I think I mentioned it one of the weeks, one of the brethren gave a testimony. I just preached it short that night. Take it. And I showed you from Genesis, from Enoch. God took Enoch. We're not taking ourselves. Now, I know, look, I'm not understanding what I'm saying. I know we sing the song, I'll fly away, but we're not flying away. The Lord's taking us. He is taking us. And we're going to go. And no man, it's the question that Jesus couldn't even answer. Did you know that? The question that not even Jesus can answer. When will he come? And Jesus says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father. And nobody knows when he'll come. So when you hear people saying Jesus came and they give a date, it's not true. You could say if Saul's appearing, amen. He has appeared. And he could appear again.
Yes, amen.
But we're talking about the second coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Where we meet him in the earth. And we go to be with the Lord. And I believe even our brother John's experience of brother John had it so scriptural. And when you read a message called A Flashing Red Light of His Coming, in that message, William Branham says, the angels will sweep down and pick you up and you're gone.
Yes.
But regarding where people were saying, no, two people have been in a plane, if there's an unsaved pilot, there'd be a saved pilot in case the plane crashes. Because they have this idea, we'll go on the twinkling of an eye, and the Bible doesn't even say that. It could be over 40 days. There's going to be a time that the Lord will do something supernatural that will attract your attention and mine and get us ready and we'll go. Just like Jesus. They were got together before he left. And he was with them for 40 days before he went back to heaven. How many knows that's the Bible? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead that are in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to go. The Lord's coming for us. And there'll be no accidents. Don't believe that. I know our brother John's mentioned it. And when we went to Singapore, the people there said it really helped them because they were some ideas about it. But you'll not be caught out if you're meant to go. You'll be taken. And I tell you, there'll be no accidents. The Lord will come for his people. And when the bride of Jesus Christ goes, things will go on as they are. And the ecumenical movement will be still going on. They're not going to rapture. They can't. They've rejected the Holy Ghost. There's two marks. There's the seal of God, which is the mark of the Holy Spirit. And there's the seal of Antichrist, which is the mark of the beast. And it's coming right at the end time. And it's later than we think. William Branham says, so let us bow our heads again, if you will, friends. Just to get you, that's what he says in this wee bit. He says, you may walk too much, but you'll never pray too much. Walk too much. I've never heard that, but he said it. He could walk too much. Man prayer everywhere lifting up holy hands. He can preach too much, talk too much, walk too much. You could exercise too much. The Bible says bodily exercise profit little. You know there's people who won't miss the gym. They're addicted to it. They'll never miss it. How many knows that's the truth? And you could get into any sort of a thing and it could take you over. But the thing that you want to take you over is prayer. It's the thing that needs to take us over, prayer. And we need to be a people that's prayed up so that we're in tune to the heavenly station, prayed in. So that God can come down in the Spirit and anoint somebody and just speak what he wants. That's the way the early church was. Isn't that the truth? Praise God. Now look, you mightn't have a desire to preach. You mightn't be called to preach. You mightn't have a desire to do a lot of things, but you can pray. Prayer is a privilege for all. Prayer. It's a privilege for everybody. Now I'm going to close because the time's... I didn't realize the time was going as quick. Prayer. God wants us to pray. That men pray without ceasing. Praise God. Watch and pray. Now when you watch the signs of the times, watch Israel. And all that they're doing against Israel. And you watch this whole movement with this Brexit and everything. And people... put the vote in, it was ignored. It was ignored, they didn't do it. And then what the people didn't want here in way of homosexual marriage, abortions, they went ahead and did it. You had no say in it. They went ahead and did it. And I'm telling you, there'll come a time when they'll make laws that we can't abide by. Well, you can't abide by them ones, anyhow. You can't. And in the book of Daniel, we're going through, these men, they couldn't abide by worshipping a man. Because they were taught to have no idols and only one true God.
Yes,
the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's come tonight, I want you to be encouraged. And I really feel the stress is, if you need God to talk to you, if you need a word from God, you need to wait on God and pray. And the Lord can speak to you. And God could do it through the gifts of the Spirit. God could do it with you in private. There's so many ways God can do it. You can't put God in a box. But I'll tell you, when God speaks to you, you'll know it. You'll really know it. Amen. Let's come and pray. And I want to ask you tonight if you can pray. Keep remembering my dad in prayer. He's doing well, but keep him in prayer that God will give him the strength back. Pray as well for Ian Redman and his wife. I went to see him on Monday night. And I think Ian had a wee slight stroke or something again. He wasn't too well, but he was looking all right. But I had a chance to pray with him. I want you just to pray that I don't want to go in there and jump on him. You can't try and save nobody. It's the work of God. But I believe God's going to save them. And I want you to pray for the Ian Redman and his wife that they'll come to the saving knowledge of the truth. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight. Lord, that your name's above every name. That there's no name like the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you this evening that there's neither is there salvation in any other name. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this evening that you just bless the service, bless your word to our hearts. Lord, we have so much to thank you for this evening because you've saved us. You've delivered us. You've called us into your banqueting house and your banner truly over us is love. Lord, many times we fail you, many times we fall short. But Lord, you've never failed us. You've never let us down. Your word says, I'm with you always, even unto the end. Lord, we know for two or three are gathered in your name that you are in the midst and not to bless. We thank you for everyone that's gathered in this room tonight. We thank you that you promised you'd be here tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that we can pray and seek your face. And your word says we will hear from heaven. Lord, we are seeking your face tonight. We're asking you to come amongst us. We're asking you to visit us. Pray you'll bless my sister. Pray you'll bless my brother. Pray, Lord, that you'll meet every need. The financial needs tonight. Grant the miracle of finances needed in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, visit our homes with salvation. Lord, we pray for Ian Redman and Aris tonight. We ask the Holy Spirit to move in them in a very special way. Lord, and indeed that you'll save them and deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch him, we pray. Touch my dad, I pray. Give him strength in his body. Oh God, visit him. We know when your spirit comes, strength comes with it. Touch him, I pray, in Jesus' name. Touch my mom. Lord, for any in this room that need a physical touch tonight, may you touch them and heal them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Pray as well, Lord, for Eileen Jones tonight and for the car trouble she's had, Lord, that you'll help her. Her and David, Lord, that you'll help them to get in the right vehicle and everything. You'll bless them and meet their need at this time and move them, David. And just bring them back to yourself and back to the meetings. Just move them, the whole family, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Bless her sister for her faithfulness, Lord. And just help her this time in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, Lord, for others that have to work tonight, the nurses, Lord, and maybe brothers that's away, may you bless them. May your hand of mercy be upon them. May you do them good, Lord, all the days of their life. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, for all our children, for everyone that would say the wee verse on Sunday, may you bless them. May you strengthen them. Bless your sister Carl as well. Encourage her. Strengthen her, Lord. Meet her needs. Move in her whole house. Move in Timothy tonight. Touch Timothy, we pray. Lord, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Touch them and heal them. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the hand of Almighty God come upon them. In Jesus Christ's name, bless them. Lord, I pray for Idris tonight. Lord, I pray you'll speak to Idris this evening. Lord, I've been preaching about how you can talk to us, how you can speak to us. Lord, I believe Idris is your child. And I bring him before you this evening and I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ all over him tonight. From the crown of his head to the soles of his very feet. Plead the blood of Christ over him. And I pray the Holy Ghost will speak a word into his innermost being this evening. That he know without a shadow of a doubt that God has spoke to them. Turn him around, Lord. Give him a real restoration in his heart and his life. And oh God, come against the lies of the devil that would speak to them and hinder them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, this evening, help us in this wee room to seek your face. We call for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, we need thee. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come with thy strength and thy power. Come with thine own special way. Fill our hearts aglow with the fire of God. Fill us all afresh with the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for anything in our hearts or lives that's wrong, that's not pleasing to you. And wash us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Father, this evening, grant us to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight. Praise God.